and love of the Lord's people in Orlando, Florida, as well as a number of stops which we have made on the way up here, different classes that we have had the pleasure and the privilege to visit and to fellowship with them. I would like to place a plug here at this time with reference to the annual convention which is held in Florida in the spring of every year. This year it will be held at Orlando the first weekend in March. We'll have 3 days, and you're all cordially invited. Christian confidence. That means so much. We had a lesson yesterday morning with reference to patience. Well, it would be impossible to exercise and manifest true patience as we're running for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus without having that Christian confidence, that confidence in our Lord, confidence in His truth, and confidence in His consecrated brethren. Very important. And I'm sure that everyone here has experienced in some way or other the reality of this fact. And this Christian confidence does inspire us. It enhances. It enhances our heavenly hope, does it not? Indeed it does. And so, being apprised of the truthfulness of this fact, is it not most fitting for us at this time to use the 35th verse of the 10th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews as a basis? Yes, as a basis for our consideration, our remarks respecting our confidence. Our confidence in our God and in our elder brother. Yes, and in all that appertains to them. Paul says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." What a consolation there is in those two words. Yes. Now, scripturally speaking, the setting of the term confidence, as Paul applies it, carries the sense of trust, of reliance, assurance of faith, unremitting conviction. Oh, how necessary it is that we do have a conviction respecting our relationship to our Heavenly Father, to our elder brother, and to know one another in the body of Christ. All that has to do with this relationship, conviction of the truth. We know it's the truth that we have because we have proven it. Yes, it means that we are engaged in an all-out dedication, and such ensuring a great recompense or reward, ultimately. Is it not a most gracious, generous? Will it not be a most gracious, generous compensation? Indeed it will. Yes. The goodness of His Highness, the Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father. Yes, indeed. And respecting our relationship to Him, as members of the household of faith, does it not sometimes seem, well, at first thought, seem somewhat strange that the Creator would formulate a plan, concerning us, which more particularly in its outworking serves and amplifies faith to quite an extent over and above works? Please do not misunderstand me. I'm not discounting works. But faith stands over and above works. The scriptures show us clearly that it is according to one's faith, so shall it be unto him. Not necessarily according to the works. It is possible to do a great deal of works. Oh, mighty and wonderful works. Without the right kind of faith back of it. So the faith is the important thing. And then James reminds us, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. So we can't leave works out, even though faith is a determining factor. Yes, and in this regard, the great architect of the universe has designed, yes, he has designed to grant exceeding great rewards, amazing rewards to the call, to the true, to the faithful. Yes, all according to their faith, according to their assurance, according to their reliance, according to their sincerity, according to their honesty. Yes, according to the stability of sanctified conviction of heaven's truth. However, in the absence of these characteristics, these principles cannot be a reality. In the absence of works, it cannot be a reality. No. And upon making a careful study of the divine testimony, our deductions become clearly defined, do they not? By reason of our spiritual eyes. Well, we have spiritual eyes if we're consecrated and are new creatures. Our spiritual eyes being anointed with the balm of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit which enables us to look into and understand the things of God, the deep things as well as the higher things of God. And thus we acquire a clean cut concept of His beneficent plan, not only for the called out of the present gospel age, the present antitypical atonement day, but also for all in the kingdom of Christ who are willing to conform themselves to the principles of right in contradistinction to the principles of wrong. The principles of righteousness in contradistinction to the principles of unrighteousness. Indeed, it is a plan embracing the ultra of heaven's altruism, which ultimately will be displayed in a lavish exercise of God's goodness to the children of men. Don't that make us happy? Yes, indeed it does. The wonderful things that God has, the worldwide children of men, ultimately. And there's so much so. For the time is coming when all people shall know Him from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, Jeremiah reminds us. Yes. And in the present time, beforehand, wonder of wonders, the Almighty is calling out a little flock from amongst mankind to do what? Why, to bear, yes, to bear the name of the bridegroom. That's a wonderful name. Oh, it's a name to be prized. Yes, indeed. To bear the name of the bridegroom. And that is to say, become the Lamb's wife, as John reminds us in his testimony in Revelation. To become a member of the bride of Christ, it is indeed an outstanding privilege, isn't it? Yes. A most bountiful gratitude. Far be a gratuity, I should say. Most bountiful gratuity. Far beyond human imagination. And some people have wonderful imaginations, but this is something far beyond anything of that kind. And in this connection, unreservedly, our Heavenly Father has unfolded before us, has He not? Oh, yes. He has unfolded before us the grandeur of a so great salvation. And He urges us to be eagerly intent, not half-heartedly, but eagerly intent in our effort to attain the salvation, so that we can be joint heirs with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, indeed. All of which our Lord likened to a pearl of great price. Experience has taught us, or at least it should have taught us, that it is not enough, no. It's not enough to carry on for a while. Oh, carry on for a while a good fight of faith in confident assurance, and then later become sort of lukewarm, as some have in the past. We can be sure that no slothful person, as long as they are slothful, is qualified or will be qualified for a place in the heavenly phase of the kingdom. You know, there's a great company in this arrangement. That we're not looking for a place in the great company, no. No, we couldn't expect that. For the roll call of the kingdom shall only include those who are faithful, and continue faithful. Always faithful. And only these personalities could the God of eternity trust, respecting the glory and the honor and the immortality given them. Beholding the vista of God's marvelous handiwork in the boundless expanse of space. We hear a lot about space these days. But beholding all of this wonderful handiwork of God, and then turning our attention to His superlative workmanship respecting the highest of earthly creation, namely man. Man is a living entity, characterized in the moral image of his Maker, endowed with powers to think, powers to judge, and arrive at rational conclusions. And this, together with possessing the faculties of reverence and veneration, along with a logical sense of right and of wrong. We are indeed, yes, we are indeed glad to exclaim, surely the Almighty is worthy of our confident assurance in Him. The law and the testimony portrays God's wisdom, His justice, His power, His love. Wherefore, our confidence in the good book engenders within us, does it not, an expansive concept of how sin and sickness and death, pain, and evil has come into the world, picture of things. And additionally, it provides us with fascinating information that from the beginning, even before the earth was, the all-wise God formulated a plan by which in due time the situation could be dealt with in such a way as to achieve a permanent victory. Not a partial victory, but an all-out victory, a permanent victory for all that is good and for all that is right. And this to the eternal blessing of all creatures on every plane of intelligent existence, such as constitutes an enhancement of the amazing generosity of God in the ultra display of condescending grace, mercy, and love. An arrangement so effective as to release all mankind. Yes, release all mankind from the slavery of evil and the incarceration of death. A consecrated person's heart condition represents the extent of their confidence in God. One's confidence goes down like a falling barometer if the faith starts to weaken. For the heart cannot be stayed in God except one is strong in faith. That is of the utmost importance. The strength of one's faith depends on the degree of confidence in the Almighty. And this, together with unfaltering confidence in the author and finish of our faith, our Lord and Master, our Elder Brother. And one's status in this regard, depending whether or not one is willing to do everything within their power to live up to their privileges and their commitments and their responsibilities. We all have commitments. And we will be required, when everything is said and done, to give a satisfactory answer concerning these commitments. We're called out, people. Called out of the world into the marvelous light of truth. And this gives us a new lease on life, does it not? Indeed it does. An entirely different outlook than we formerly had. A way of life that has to do with a new objective. A way that is better than all other ways. And hence, old things have passed away, have they not? What are these old things? Well, it's worldly learning, worldly prestige, worldly honor, worldly ambition, worldly aspirations, prospects, and so forth. And because we have great assurance in the Word of God, of the Lord, and in his heart-cheering plan of salvation, a salvation not only for a salvation for Adam and his entire posterity. And concerning this matter, our confidence is increased, is it not? Yes, our confidence is increased by our acceptance of an invitation to joint heirship with the glorified Jesus in his kingdom. Outstanding in every way, we have a great God superlative, do we not? A God worthy of our confidence. Yes. And in proportion to our reaction to his grace, in like proportion our confidence becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And in this regard, it is very comforting, is it not? Yes, it is very comforting to realize that God will do everything possible. And that means a lot. He'll do everything possible and give us every reasonable advantage, yea, abundantly more than we could think or ask, for us to make the grade. And in His own time and in His own way, compensate our confidence in Him. Yes. That's something to look forward to, is it not? Yes. And holding fast our confidence fills us with a genuine sense of realism. This is very real. There's nothing visionary about this. It fills us with a genuine sense of realism that our God truly cares for our future well-being. As the Apostle Peter reminds us, cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And in His and holding fast our confidence fills us with a genuine sense of realism, therefore, does it not? Yes. God overrules everything, respecting our well-being, respecting our future. So when we are confronted with a problem, and who isn't? When we are confronted with problems, and we are true, respecting our trust in Him and our assurance, our reliance in Him, we know that the experience is for our highest good, regardless of what the experience may be. And it may be quite bitter sometimes. If the reward was to be granted according to our works, we would receive very little. The most talented person could not do sufficient works to merit the reward of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. As we have already said, works are required. It's true. Works are required. Works are required within the capacity of one's ability, and that varies greatly. Faith, of course, is always the determining factor. According to a man's faith, so shall it be unto him, as the rule laid down in the Scriptures. And hence, the reward will be proportioned according to the degree of faith. And it is by faith that we are running for the prize, is it not? We have agreed to meet specified conditions. And it is appreciated how the Lord protects us from the pitfalls along the way. And we're confronted with these pitfalls from time to time. And some of them are very subtle. We have to be alert and wide awake. Otherwise, we may have a little difficulty. It is a way, the way which constitutes a common Christian basis. Now, what is this common Christian basis? It's the fundamental doctrines and principles of the truth. The fundamental doctrines and principles that have to do with the divine plan of the ages. And that checks out all theories, all speculations, all maybes and perhapses, and things of that kind. Yes, it is not a way according to the fallen characteristics of a fallen human being. It is a way in which God judges us according to the motive, back of what we say and back of what we do. The reason, the intent, the purpose, the object, and what we say and what we do. The beginning of faith is the beginning of our salvation, is it not? And only those who have a broken and contrite heart are capable of having a true beginning of faith. And that's the reason every consecrated believer is here this afternoon. They started out with a broken and contrite heart. It is absolutely a necessity. A contrite heart is charmed. They are captivated by the message of forgiveness for sin and the restoration to God's favor. A contrite heart is in a condition in which it can seek the Lord and be conformed to His truth. And such a heart draws near to God Yes, and in turn, God draws near to it. God's covenant of mutual accord is shown to such a heart. And such a heart is in a mood to comply with the conditions which God lays down for their observance. And thus it is that a contrite heart can be activated, motivated, in full confidence, full trust and reliance in the hallowed integrity of our God. Amongst Bible students it is, of course, a well-known fact that the church's salvation is an exclusive one, very exclusive. Oh, not so exclusive from the standpoint of our fallen, broken-down bodies, no. But very exclusive from the standpoint of the condition of the heart. Yes. The scripture set forth all the vital facts concerning this so great salvation. And as well as setting forth all the facts concerning the common salvation for the world of mankind, the general salvation for the world of mankind. And to enjoy either one of these salvations, it is needful to demonstrate complete confidence in God. That isn't only required of us now, but it's going to be required of the world of mankind. They must manifest, exercise absolute confidence in God and all that appertains to Him. The principle in every case being the same. The world's salvation, of course, does not come into the picture until the church's salvation is finished. Highway of holiness hasn't been set up yet, and it can't be. The 35th chapter of Isaiah cannot be fulfilled until the church is complete in glory. All the by and by, when the knowledge of the Lord fills the whole earth, all people will understand, yes, all people will understand and have an unrestricted opportunity to truly believe the Almighty's goodness, His mercy, and His love as inculcated in His benevolent arrangement. Benevolent arrangement for the eternal blessing of all peoples, kindreds, and tongues. The time when the golden sunlight of God's benefactions become a rich portion for all who in confidence accept God's terms, not the terms of some human being, but God's terms of loyal obedience. Yea, the time when the curse will be rolled back and in place the effulgence of God's generosity and goodness become apparent everywhere. All in all, the golden age of prophecy so long foretold. At the close of the kingdom dispensation, when the great work which our Lord has been commissioned to do will have been accomplished, He then will turn everything over to God in order that henceforth and forever God may be all in all. The assignment of the salvation project having previously been given to Christ Jesus by virtue of Him having been proved worthy. Worthy by reason of His full cooperation in the outworking of the divine plan. There was no pulling apart there, but there was cooperation. And our Lord set an example for us. The exceedingly vital importance of cooperation. The ear can't say to the tongue, I have no need for you. All right, tongue, you just go on the way you want to. I'm the ear, I'll go on, I'll do what the way I want to. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. That isn't the idea. The body of Christ must be in a condition of coordination, of cooperation. That is vitally important. Oh, it's so important. And our Lord set an example in that respect. Full cooperation with His Heavenly Father. Yes. And this cooperation means that the body of Christ, not as as individual members of the body of Christ, will not be carrying any grudges, any ill feelings, or anything of that kind on the other side of the veil. I think we can truthfully say that no one will find a place in the kingdom with a chip on their shoulder. So we have any chips, it's very necessary that we get rid of. So important that we have cooperation, work together. Very vital. In this matter, we are under the care of a good shepherd, are we not? Yes, our Lord and Master, our elder brother, is a wonderful shepherd. Oh, He watches over every little detail respecting His flock. Yes, we have a wonderful shepherd. And this good shepherd never deflected in any way from the counsel and the leading of the great shepherd, our Heavenly Father. And our confidence in the great shepherd and in the good shepherd is very well expressed, is it not? In the 23rd Psalm particularly. All those wonderful psalms that David wrote. I don't know how it is with you, but David is my hero in the Old Testament. Yes, they're wonderful psalms. Let us quote the 23rd Psalm in the plural, because it involves all of us. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul being. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil. For He's with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup runs over. Surely His goodness and His mercy will follow us all the days of our life, for we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, indeed. And therefore, one thing do we desire of the Lord, and that will we always seek after, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into His temple. As a people of God, we can properly appreciate this psalm, can we not? Oh, yes. And rejoicingly apply its gracious sentiments to ourselves. We can do this because we belong to an holy nation. That's right. We belong to an holy nation, favored of God, and in that He has taken us into a covenant relationship with Himself. And this by reason of our dedication to walk forever in the way of the Lord God Almighty. And correspondingly in proportion, He continues to render His blessing on our every interest. Oh, He's interested in us. Oh, yes. And primarily all the features of the 23rd Psalm apply to the Good Shepherd and His sheep of the Gospel Age. Those who constitute His brethren engaged in running for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. These are sheep enthused with full confidence. Enthused with full confidence in the Good Shepherd, and thus are in line for life more abundant. And they follow the good shepherd whithersoever he goes. Yes. And our master had something to say about this. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow the good shepherd. Our Lord and Master, our forerunner, our counselor, our head. In hearing his voice in spiritual reality, there is good reason for our resolve, is there not, to dwell in the house of the Lord, in the Father's house, all the days of our life? Yes, there is good reason. There is good cause for us to be highly elated when we consider the goodness and the mercy and the love which our God activates on our behalf. And we being sheep of the Master's flock, such goodness being our rich portion day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Our precious portion now and forever. In retrospect, we look back. We look back over the months and years of our consecrated way of life and happily see how the radiant splendor of the light of divine truth has so fully shone on our pathway of devotion unto the Lord. I think every consecrated believer can testify to that. And throughout our consecrated life, we have been furnished by heaven-sanctified words of truth. Yea, verily. The law and the testimony. And that today we appreciate, what today we appreciate is present truth. Wherefore, do we not have great cause to rejoice? We most certainly do. And so again, along with the Apostle Paul, we rejoice. We rejoice with all of the Lord's faithful consecrated people. For all things we do give thanks, do we not? Give thanks to our God and earnestly take courage in pressing on and on to victory. It is good, very good, to occasionally take thought, take time to reminisce, respecting our walk with our elder brother, the captain of our salvation. In doing so, we are filled with gratitude, are we not? We're filled with gratitude in having the privilege to be favored with an opportunity of being recipients of manifold benefactions that are so lavishly and generously given unto us by a most magnanimous God, a most wonderful and generous God, a God of grace and of life and of love. Therefore, are we not persuaded? Yes, we are. We are persuaded that neither height nor depth nor length nor breadth nor anything under the sun, anytime, anywhere, in any way whatsoever, can separate us from our God and his truth. We have confidence, conviction of faith in this matter, do we not? Yes, we are fully persuaded. And having the matter settled once and for all time to come, we will indeed continue to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's right. Before closing, permit me to read an item from the pen of our beloved Brother Russell. No tongue or pen can tell the peace, the joy and blessing which a clear knowledge of the truth has brought into our hearts and lives. The story of God's wisdom, justice, power, and love fully satisfies the cravings of both our head and our heart. We're seeking no further. There is nothing more to be desired than to get this wonderful story more clearly before our minds and to appreciate more and more the divine character as illustrated by the great divine plan of the ages. which our Heavenly Father is gradually outworking for the blessing first of the church, afterwards of all the families of the earth. Getting this fascinating vision before our eyes elicits our confident assurance, does it not? And whereupon, having a clearer perspective of the heavenly vision, we are enabled to have our hearts sprinkled free of an evil conscience, and thus having our hearts void of offense toward God or toward man. Yes. And so steadfastly we retain confidence of our faith in our relationship to the Lord and His truth. And doing this by complying, by applying ourselves in a free will obedience to the law of the new creation. And because of this, the Good Shepherd continues to provide us with a most delightful resting place in God's pasture of divine love.
Let us conclude the service with the first and last verses of Appendix O. Following the closing prayer, there will be a half an hour intermission. At 3:00, Brother Levi Jacobs will be the speaker.
Of all the wonderful things you have done for us in time past, and the privilege we have here, this convention, these things increase, these blessings. We thank you for the assurances respecting the future. We thank you, dear Father, for the grace and strength which you have given us as we have gone along the ways in our endeavors to follow faithfully in the footsteps of our Lord and Master. We thank you, dear Father, that you have enabled us to increase our confidence and our trust and our reliance in thee. And we want to do this in the future days to come. And so give us the richly of thy Holy Spirit to this end. And continue now to be with us in our gathering here at this convention. And continue thy blessings according to thy will and pleasure. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.